the nomination of the party for the presidency in 1948 when his star was really on the ascendancy, and he fought hard for it. He lost a primary in Oregon in a debate with Tom Dewey, and he really has never recovered from that experience. His political star has been on the descendancy ever since. Now he is a candidate again for the presidency and does not have, as far as we know, any delegates pledged to him, and may not even find anybody to put his name in nomination. But he says this morning at the Fontainebleau Hotel to newsmen that he expects to win the nomination on the 7th ballot. He was a boy wonder 20 years ago, today a 60-year-old, still trying to get his party's highest honor.
The chair now recognizes, for the purpose of placing a name in nomination for the office of president, the delegate from the state of Minnesota, chairman of the 1st Congressional District of Minnesota, Mr. J. Robert Stassen. Mr. Stassen.
You can obviously guess whose name is about to go in nomination.
That's Harold Stassen's nephew.
And the Nixons are now leaving Convention Hall. David Eisenhower is with them. They're going to watch the balloting, the voting, from their hotel headquarters.
Mr. Chairman, fellow delegates and distinguished guests, I count it a privilege and honor to address this great convention tonight. A hall filled with concerned Americans, an official body of dedicated Republicans who are charged with an awesome responsibility of making momentous decisions which could mark a turning point in our party, for our nation, for the world, and yes, for all mankind. I also count it a signal honor to place a nomination before this convention the name of a man who has dedicated his life to the cause of world peace and the freedom of man. A man who is perhaps the most misunderstood an underestimated man in America today. I am humbly grateful for this opportunity to place in nomination the name of Harold E. Stassen as a candidate for the Republican nominee for President of the United States. Now, Harold Stassen's name has been placed before this convention before, but only twice. In 1948, the great former congressman from Minnesota, keynoter of our national convention in 1960, the Honorable Dr. Walter Judd placed his name in nomination. In 1952, Mrs. Marge Howard of Minnesota presented his name, and it was Stassen's votes that allowed Minnesota to put General Eisenhower over the top on the first ballot in 1952. Now I come before you tonight as an American concerned about the state of this nation under an incredible Democrat administration. I rise as a businessman concerned about the economic climate as affected by high interest, high prices, spiraling inflation, and excessive government spending in America today. I rise as a Republican who believes the strife-torn and divided Democrat Party is even less qualified to govern America now than it has been during these last four agonizing years. I rise as a party officer, believing that above all else, the Republican Party must win the presidency in 1968 by uniting behind whomever we nominate at this convention. It is somewhat incidental, therefore, that I also rise as a member of a family which has a heritage of public service in Minnesota and America. And it is a heritage of which I am proud. My grandfather's example of dedicated public service had a profound effect on his sons, especially on Harold Stassen. I am active in politics today because they have had an effect on me as well. Harold E. Stassen, as a young man, took the lead in the depths of the Depression in organizing the Young Republicans in Minnesota into a dynamic campaign organization. In a dramatic defeat of an incumbent and the entrenched opposition party, at age 31, he became the youngest man ever to be elected governor of any of the states of this union, and he still holds that record. As governor, his administration established the Minnesota Labor Peace Act, still on our books in Minnesota, and still producing constructive results, which transformed one of the worst labor strike records in the nation into one of the very best. Its far-sighted principles later became some of the major patterns for our present federal legislation, the Taft-Hartley Law. Under his administration, Minnesota was one of the early states in the Union to install an effective system of civil service. In the early 1940s, before the current emphasis on civil rights, Harold Stassen became the first governor in America to desegregate the National Guard. When Minnesota was still the undisputed leader of the world in iron ore production, it was Harold Stassen that had the foresight to see that someday our high-grade ore would be depleted. And his administration began the taconite and low-grade iron ore programs, which today have become one of the strong industries and favorable resource development programs in our state and in our nation. He was elected and reelected and reelected again by three of the greatest votes the people of Minnesota ever gave to a man of either political party. At the beginning of World War II, he resigned the governorship and went on active duty to serve in the Navy as Assistant Chief of Staff to Admiral William Halsey. He was decorated three times for service above and beyond the call of duty. He stood on the battleship Missouri and watched the Japanese surrender in 1945. In the early 1940s, Harold Stassen had begun to speak out against the dangers of isolationism and for the need of organizing a United Nations in our world for peace. And while others were turning their eyes inward and refusing to recognize America's proper role in our world, Harold Stassen was battling the isolationist elements in America and openly advocating that the nations of the world must not merely agree that they wish to live in peace, but they must establish a mechanism of government to achieve that end. He was one of the three Republicans called by President Roosevelt to take part in the drafting and signing of the United Nations Charter. He is now the only living man who signed the United Nations Charter on behalf of the United States. During the presidency of Dwight D. Eisenhower, he served as Director of Foreign Operations. He was a member of the National Security Council, the Cabinet, and the Operations Coordinating Board. President Eisenhower referred to him as his Secretary of Peace and specifically assigned him to begin America's quest for a plan of world arms control. But the question is often raised, why does Harold Stassen keep running for political office? Have you ever heard that question asked? Well, in my opinion, his remarkable vision and foresight have enabled him to discern an impending problem long before it becomes a public concern. And he has always felt the political arena was the most effective way to alert the public to a serious impending problem, either as an office holder or as a candidate. His dedication and concern drive him to take courageous action, even at the risk of public misunderstanding and ridicule. Political victories and political defeats have often been accompanied by eventual breakthroughs. Who can measure the degree of effect his efforts have had on public opinions and public attitudes of America? His motives and his actions are not misunderstood or ridiculed, by those who comprehend his real purpose in life. Harold Stassen emphasized that either approach would fail, would most surely fail, without equal emphasis upon the other. 30 years ago, he foresaw the need for a drive toward complete equality of opportunity and human dignity for black as well as white, for poor as well as rich. And he was right. 30 years ago, before Pearl Harbor, he foresaw a need for a United Nations organization to serve the objective for peace, and he helped in its formation. 10 years ago, he foresaw the need to modernize and strengthen the United Nations to better serve the peoples of the world for peace. And although few have hearkened, he is right. 17 years ago, he saw the change and noted it in many of his speeches, which the people of Czechoslovakia and Romania, in their desire to be free, would bring about to move away from totalitarianism and Soviet communism, and he is being proved right this very day. 3 years ago, when the Johnson-Humphrey administration made the Vietnam War an American war, Harold Stassen foresaw that this was a tragic mistake. He and precious few others, but some of those few are in this room here tonight, spoke out boldly in the face of ridicule and scorn against the escalation and the Americanization of the war. And time has shown in a disastrous way that they were right. And I thank God that our platform is testimony to their foresight. In each case, he not only foresaw, but he spoke out. He worked, he showed leadership, and brought forth proposals. He helped guide America toward the solution of the impending problems. But another question has also been raised. Why should Harold Stassen's name be placed in nomination in this year of 1968? During the months leading up to the Republican National Convention, I have publicly stated my belief in the necessity for a vigorous dialogue and debate on the pressing issues of the day, and for an open contest in this Republican convention. I believe those who have been openly discussing and debating the issues over the past few months should be commended, for in so doing, they have kept our party in the news between the primaries and now, and they have made our convention an open one and a meaningful one. Harold Stassen is one of those that should be so commended. Now, I fully realize that even in an open convention, the chances against his nomination are great. But I strongly feel that his name should be placed before this convention for the following 3 reasons. First, the proposals of Harold Stassen for solutions to the problem of our day are clearly among the most constructive, far-sighted, and logical of any proposals suggested by any man in America today. By submitting his name to this convention, I have hoped his positions would have a greater influence on the delegates and would have a better chance of being reflected in the platform that we adopted here in Miami Beach. I believe the platform we adopted has been influenced by his proposals. Secondly, this is an open convention. It may go several ballots. It may even become deadlocked. In the event that none of the current frontrunners are able to gain a majority of the votes at this convention, then I believe Harold Stassen's name should be one of those before the convention as they seek possible compromise candidates. Thirdly, I believe if Harold Stassen were nominated, he would win the election. He would beat Hubert Humphrey even in our home state of Minnesota. And if elected, his experience and ability would make him a great president, a president who could lift our nation up from the morass of problems in which we have become mired in these last 4 years. And now, fellow delegates, if on the early ballots you are not ready to make a choice between the front-running candidates, I invite you to consider casting your vote for Harold Stassen until you see how this convention progresses. And if perchance none of the front runners is able to achieve a majority of the votes, I would ask you to consider the experience, the courage, the far-sighted vision, and the unquestioned integrity of my proposed nominee. Now may I also say with a smile that in the interest of time, our campaign organization has not arranged for or planned a spontaneous demonstration on his behalf. But if you think, as I do, that the life of Harold Stassen has counted for something for world peace, has contributed something to the principle that man was meant to be free, then as I place his name in nomination, I simply ask that you stand and give him a well-deserved hand. And with that, it is an honor for me to place in nomination for President of the United States a man who can lead our party to a decisive victory in November, and who would lead our nation on the path to peace with freedom and justice, the Honorable Harold E. Stassen. Thank you.
And the delegates, most of them at any rate, are standing to, well, some of them are standing to give Harold Stassen a hand.
Stassen has been put in nomination by his nephew. We've had a number of nominations of favorite sons, but this is the first one for a favorite uncle.
The chair now recognizes for a seconding speech the delegate from Ohio, Mr. Paul Walter Jr., the youngest delegate at the convention, 21 years of age, Mr. Walter.
Mr. Walter was interviewed last night by John Chancellor, as you may recall, and some of what he said, if he repeats it here, is not going to set very well in this hall.
Gosh. My fellow men, far more than ever, we are united as spacemen on a dot of dust that revolves around a small burning spot in space. But a dot whose destiny and ours we can increasingly control for eternal non-existence or for betterment beyond belief. It is often asked what is wrong with the half of the country under 28 years old. Let us answer. America is a great country with great ideals, but we are not living up to them. We are turning from a democracy to a hypocrisy. No one is for air and water pollution, and yet they surround us. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution specifically prohibits involuntary servitude, and the government is supposed to be the servant of the people. And yet young men who cannot even vote are drafted to kill and to die in a war that is never explained. We are taught, thou shalt not kill. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, and love thy neighbor. And yet 10% of our gross national product is spent on war every year, while hunger, poverty, and overpopulation abound, both at home and abroad. The fault lies not in the black man aspiring for what is rightfully his, or in communist stars, ourselves. For the true tragedy is, we are not even trying to reach our ideals. And those few who do put principle above personal ambition are threatened with prison, such as Dr. Spock, the 20th century Sir Thomas More, or ridiculed as Governor Stassen, the modern Don Quixote. As Sancho Panza told Don Quixote, "Don't die, Don Quixote, don't die. For the greatest guilt in this life is to die without good reason." These men have helped build the foundation for a lasting peace. The next time we deride them, we should ask if we have done as much. And so I second this nomination as a symbol to all who place ideals above personal considerations. For that is what makes mankind meaningful. Thank you for your inattention.
Well, that was a biting little speech. Paul Walter, 21, the youngest delegate in the hall, who said last night he actually supported Lindsay, though he was willing to say a word in behalf of Stassen.
For the purpose of placing the name in nomination.
Ohio!
The wonderful world of Ohio casts two votes by Stassen Pledge delegates for Harold Stassen. One vote by a Stassen Pledge delegate for Harold Stassen. Two votes by Ashbrook Pledge delegates for Richard Nixon. 55 votes for the favorite son of Ohio, the distinguished Governor James A. Rhodes.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, cast 15 votes for Rockefeller, 9 votes for Nixon, 1 vote for Harold Stassen, 1 vote for John Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Abbott, two presidential candidates, Nelson Rockefeller and Harold Stassen, met today for the first time in this campaign because until now, somehow, their paths had not crossed. Rockefeller was in a hotel lobby. Rockefeller walked over and said, "Harold, it's nice to see you. This is a lot of fun, isn't it? It's a great business." And Stassen said, "It sure is, Nelson. But don't you think you and I are getting a little too old for this?" Rockefeller said, "Why, no, I never felt younger." And Stassen then said, "Well, I'm not so sure I want to go through it again." Chet, I won't say goodnight because neither of us is going anywhere. We're going to begin covering the convention shortly.
Okay.
So, come on up.
See you in a minute.
All right.